This program is made possible by the members of the Church Street Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
I want you to take your Bibles, go to the book of John chapter 18 this morning. That was a blessing. John chapter number 18. While you're turning there, I want to invite you tonight to the service. I told 9:30 service this morning that I just feel like God is going to do something tonight. I can't explain it. But I want to invite you. A lot of you have been to churches before where the Sunday night and the Wednesday night services are just, you know, blah, no good for anything. That is not the case. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost has sat down with us the last several months, and I'm believing He's going to do something tonight. John chapter number 18, verse number 2. I want you to look, if you will. The Bible says, "And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples." Now, we've all heard the story of the betrayal of Judas. But what we fail to realize is this was not the last time Jesus was betrayed in one night. Look, if you will, now at verse number 27 of the same chapter. John chapter number 18 and verse number 27. "Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crowed." So in one night, our Lord has been betrayed. Not one time, not two times. And I wish I could say that was the last time. But look now, if you will, in verse number 19, or verse number 39, rather. Verse number 39, Pilate is speaking here, and he says, "But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" Verse 40, "Then they cried all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas." But Barabbas was a robber. Jesus was betrayed not one time, not two times, but three times within the course of just a few hours. He is betrayed by Judas, by Peter, and by the nation of Israel. He is betrayed by Judas. Judas was a man that he invested in. He was betrayed by Peter. Peter was a man that he loved. And he was betrayed by the nation of Israel. Those were people that he came to serve. Ladies and gentlemen, those are the class of people that you have been betrayed by in your life. You have been betrayed by a Judas, someone that you invested in. Someone that you tried to put yourself into, and they betrayed you for 30 pieces of silver. Then you've been betrayed by a Peter. Someone that you love, someone that you spent time with, a husband, a wife, a spouse, a child, a pastor, someone that you tried everything to love and show love, but they only betrayed you in the hour of need. And then there's the nation of Israel. That's the people that Jesus came to serve. Those are people that he wanted nothing from. Those are people that he wanted nothing out of, but yet whenever it came down and they said, "You know what? We would rather have a thief, a robber. We would rather have a malefactor. We don't want the king." The people that Jesus came to serve slapped him in the face, spit at him in the eyes, and nailed him to a cross. Brothers and sisters, I'm looking at people this morning, and I know that you have walked through the muddy creek of betrayal. You have felt its icy blade as it dashed into your back. You have felt the cold pick as it went into your heart. You have felt the cold hand as it slapped across your face. That text message that somebody sent you that said, "It's over, I'm done, I'm through." It was that little note that was left on the table that said, "I'm sorry, I found somebody else." It was that preacher that did something that you never thought that he would ever do, and you have said, "You know what? That's it. I'm done. I'll never be the same again." and that betrayal has come over you, and that betrayal has run all over you. Do you know what betrayal is? Betrayal is whenever confidence in a confidant is broken. Whenever confidence in a confidant is broken. Let me put that, take that out of the French and put that into redneck. It's when somebody you love stabs you. It's when somebody you trusted stabs you. Ladies and gentlemen, many of you in here, you have arrived at that betrayal stage, but you've got to understand, betrayal is a slippery slide and it doesn't end there. Because betrayal will lead to brokenness. And brokenness, if it is not dealt with, will lead to bitterness. If that betrayal is not dealt with, it will break you in half. And that betrayal that breaks you in half, if you do not leave it at the foot of Jesus Christ, you will become so bitter, and you will become so cold, and you will become so hard. You will become so callous. You'll never love the same. You'll never love the people the same. You'll never trust the same. You'll never be able to worship God the same. You'll never love your children the same. It's when that spouse walks in and said, I found somebody else. There's something on the inside of you, and we say, it has died. I'll never love again. I'll never be able to trust again. It's when that child walks in and said, Mom and Dad, I'm going this way. I don't want your rules. I don't want your God. I don't want your ways. I don't want your Bible. I don't want you. And they walk out, and that betrayal, it's that coworker, it's that boss that said they had your back. It's that person at work said, I got you, honey. Nobody's going to get it. And then they have just turned you around and put that thing into your back, and you feel so betrayed, and you feel like nothing. It's that deacon. It's that church member, and you said, I trusted them. I believed in them. I thought they were a part of the family of God, and now my heart's been broken. And you've gotten out there, people in this building right now. This is the first time you've been to church since God knows when, and it's because you have been betrayed. It's because somebody has turned their back on you. But let me just stop this message right now. Take me a quick time out. Put both of my 10 and a halves on this red carpet and say, just like Jesus Christ, you don't have to be overcome with betrayal, but you can be an overcomer of that betrayal. You don't have to fall prey to the bitterness of life. You don't have to fall prey to the brokenness of situations. You can overcome that. You can get victory over that. You can be a winner in that. You can see God move in that, but you have got to do it like the Lord Jesus did it. Ladies and gentlemen, you can overcome betrayal. 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 You don't have to be a bitter believer. You don't have to be a broken believer. You don't have to be a bitter mother. You don't have to be a bitter spouse. You don't have to be a bitter divorcee. You don't have to be a bitter father. You don't have to be a bitter preacher. You don't have to be a bitter church member. There is victory, honey. There's power, child. There's life on the other side of that betrayal. There's hope on the other side of that betrayal. Here's what some of you need to do tonight. You need to find that little wound. You need to find that place where that person stuck that knife and say, no more, devil. No more you're going to get victory over this thing. No more you're going to have power. I'm going to rip it out of me. I'm going to bury it. I'm going to let the balm of Gilead flow in my heart, and I'm going to have healing. I'm going to have power. I'm going to have unction. I am going to overcome betrayal. I got 3 bullets. I'm going to shoot them at you real quick. Do what you want to with them. Number one, let me talk to you about comprehending betrayal. How many of you have ever wondered, God, why did this happen to me? Why did I go through this? Well, number one, you went through it because it was in the plan of God. You went through it because it was in the plan of an almighty God. You need to get used to a really big Bible word, and it's called sovereignty. Now hear me, time out, hear me well. Some of you are going to have no idea what I'm talking about right here, so just time out, get you a sip of water, and I'll be right back in about 30 seconds. But some of you are going to be familiar with what I'm talking about. Here's what I'm talking about. It is to do with this new fandangled thing that's making an ugly rearing, and it's called Calvinism. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not a Calvinistic bone in my body. There's not a Calvinistic bone in my being, and I'm going to preach on that here in just a few weeks, and I'm going to tell you what the truth is, what the Bible says, and what the Bible says is what the Bible Bible says, Tyler Curtis Galton doesn't have a Calvinistic bone in my body. Every bit of this is whosoever will. Every bit of this is Bible. Every bit of this, I mean, I got it from the bottom of my soul to the top of my head. Wherever there's gray, red, blue, purple, green, there's not a Calvinistic bone in my body. But you hear me and you hear me well. I am a sovereignty preacher. I believe in the sovereignty of a holy God. You know what that means? It means God's in control all the time. Never not a time when God is not in control. He's in control of the sunrise and he's in control of the sunset. He's in control when the moon goes up and the moon goes down. The stars go up, the stars go down. He's in control when the dog barks and he's in control when the sun tells that chicken to get up and wake everybody up. He's in control when the blades of grass turn green and the blades of grass turn brown. He's in control when the monkeys swing from the trees and he's in control when the tadpoles float in the water. He's in control when the frogs eat flies and he's in control when you eat egg rolls or whether you eat pizza. God is in control every single day, every single hour, every single moment, never not a time when God is not in control. And here's what you've got to understand. Do you remember who it was that was betrayed three times on that night? Do you remember who it was? It was not Tyler and it was not you. It was Jesus Christ. He was the sinless one. He was the spotless one. He was the one that was always in the will of God, always in the perfect plan of God. But in the middle of God's perfect will, he was still betrayed. In the middle of God's perfect will, he was betrayed. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you something? Just because somebody did you wrong does not mean you were in the wrong. Just because they walked out doesn't mean that they were supposed. You see, we've got this mindset that I did something wrong. You may have. But not every broken will is because you did something wrong. Not every lost job is because you did something wrong. Not every time a preacher went haywire and because church members go haywire and because people get crazy and co-workers get crazy and spouses get crazy. Not every time that happens did you do something wrong. It was in the plan of an almighty God. Number two, you know why else betrayal happens? Because of the punishment of God. Do you know why God lets the wheels fall off sometimes? So you realize you didn't have the bolts tightened down hard enough. Do you want me to tell you why the wheels fall off? Because God's trying to let you know that you didn't do something right. How many of you are like me? You are not mechanical when it comes to vehicles in the slightest. Me and about five other women. I am not mechanical in the very slightest. It doesn't bother me. You ain't gonna hurt my feelings. Sticks and stones, baby. I've dealt with meaner and uglier today. You're not gonna hurt my feelings. How many of you ladies, don't raise your hand. I wouldn't want you to hurt your husband's feelings. But they've got something wrong with their car. And they open their hood. And they go stand there while a real mechanic tells them what's wrong. And the whole time that guy's going, yeah, I understand. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought it was. That's exactly. I'm not like that. You know where I am? I'm inside in the air conditioning, drinking the free Coca-Cola, eating their peanuts while you foolish people are out there trying to figure out what's going on. No. I don't have any idea. But you know what I do know? I do know when something's creaking, it ain't right. And when something's squealing, it ain't right. And when lights are going off on my dash, something's not right. And when that thing's a singing to me, something's not right. And that thing's squealing like a hog that just got scalded, something's not right. But some of us have not realized in our life that God puts those lights in our spirit, and he puts those red flags and says, don't go around that person. You do not need to marry that person. You do not need to be around that person. You don't need to be with that person. That person's not a believer. That person is not saved. That friend is going to tear you down. That situation is going to rip you apart. You let your youngin' get a hold of that, it's going to tear them to pieces. No, we're not going there on Sunday. No, we're not doing that on prayer meeting. No, we're not going to let you do that. No, you can't have that. But the whole time we just say, okay, help yourself. And the red lights are going off and the Holy Ghost is saying, no. And we're just driving down the road, driving Aunt Maybelline down, hoping she'll buy us a biscuit and cornbread somewhere down the road. And we're riding and the wheels are shaking and the steering wheel's just rattling and the wheels are coming off and the lights are flashing and we end up in a ditch. Maybelline's out on the side of the road. Ain't no biscuits, ain't no cornbread, and everybody's torn up. And we get out and we say, why'd it break down? Why'd this car fall to pieces? And the whole time your wife is over there going, didn't you see the lights? Couldn't you feel the the shaking? Didn't you hear the rattling? Didn't you know it was squealing? And sometimes it falls apart in our life, and the marriage rips apart, and the children go astray, and the church falls apart, and you're over there saying, God, why'd you do this to me? Why'd you let that happen? And the Holy Ghost is saying, didn't you see those red lights I sent in your life? Didn't you hear what they said? Didn't you know how they walked? Can I tell you something? A pig in slop is going to be a pig in slop as long as he's a pig that wants to go near the slop. Let me explain something to you. Pigs with bows on their tails are still pigs and ham at the end of the day. I don't care if they smell good, have a bow, they are still a pig. And a sinner will take a saved person down every single time. And the lights will go off. And you'll say, God, what? Oh, God, I can't believe it. But here's a question. How do you know the difference, whether it's the plan of God or God's punishing you? You ready? You'll know. You'll know. You say, these waves of guilt come over me, and I think, what could I have done different? How could I have changed it? That's the devil. You see, the God doesn't operate in waves of guilt. God puts tsunamis of certainty on you. And you'll wake up one day and you'll feel like a Holy Ghost Mack truck has knocked you into another world. And you'll say, what in the world happened to me? What was I thinking? How could I have let that person come into my life? Why in God's name did I ever say I do? Why did I let my youngin' do that? Why did I take that job? What was I thinking? Ladies and gentlemen, when you hit that point, you'll know. You'll know. You say, I ain't never been there. Hold on. You'll be there. Number one, comprehending it. Why did it happen? Because God wanted it to happen. Number two, coping with betrayal. Coping with betrayal. I don't care if it's a preacher. I don't care if it's a spouse. I don't care. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand, there are two people in this passage that were betrayed. Jesus and Peter. Because when Judas said, that's him, wasn't Judas Peter's friend also? Judas was the treasurer. Judas held the money. Judas was his friend. Judas worked with Peter. And whenever Jesus was betrayed, Peter was betrayed. But yet we see a stark contrasting difference between how Jesus reacted and how Peter reacted. If you want to overcome it, you ought not act like Peter. What did Peter do? I want to tell you how not, this is not good preaching, but it's going to be good living if you'll put it, how not to overcome betrayal, how not to get past that stabbing in the back, how not to deal with that person that cut you in the heart, how not, you ready? Number one, what did Peter do? He gave heed to the flesh. He gave heed to the flesh. Are you ready for what Peter did? Here's what happened. Jesus is down on his knees looking up to his Father in heaven in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in that garden he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Sweating great drops of blood. And all of a sudden here come the temple priests and the priest guards. They come and they grab Peter or they grab Jesus and they say, how are we going to know which one? And Judas said, I'll kiss him on the cheek and that's how you'll know who you need to arrest. And Jesus is in chains and Jesus is arrested. You know what Peter does? Peter doesn't stand over there and just say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God be glorified today. Now, you know what Peter did? Peter got in the flesh. He reached into his sheath and took out his fisherman's knife and he whacked off Malchus's ear, the servant of the high priest. He took that knife and he wasn't going after an ear. He wasn't trying to touch an audible thing. He was slicing. He was going for the jugular. He was going to kill Malchus. He was going to take his life. He was going to get him where he would never hurt anybody again. He would never do that to him again. He would never betray anybody again. He would never hurt anybody again. And he swipes that ear. That ear falls off. And the very first thing Jesus does is he goes down into the dirt and he picks up Malchus's ear and he looks over at Peter and he said, Peter, put up your sword. He said, if I wanted to, I'd call legions of angels right now at my Father's behest and they would slay the entire world. He took that ear, put it back on Malchus's head and healed Malchus. And he said, Peter, can I tell you something? Flesh and blood cannot win this battle. Flesh and blood cannot accomplish this thing. What I'm trying to tell you, child of God, is that betrayal, that spouse, this is what we do. Is it not? Now let's go ahead and take our Baptist mask off and let's get real. Whenever that person betrays you, this is what we say. That's fine. I'll get even. I don't get mad. I get even I'll take them for every. That man walks out on you. That woman walks out. I'm getting ready to hoe in somebody's tater patch right now. They walk out on you. That man leaves you. That woman leaves you. Those kids betray you. That's fine. I'll cut them off. That's fine. I'll take them for everything they've got. That's fine. I'll do this. That's fine. I'll do that. That's fine. I'll do this. That's fine. They'll never hurt anybody ever again. You know what we're doing? We're taking our knife out of our sheath. Ready to whack. We're going to fix them. We'll get them. Oh, she betrayed me. That's fine. I'll pull up her email accounts and how she's stealing time during lunch. That's fine. Oh, yeah, I'll get her. That's fine. I saw her take a packet of paper out the other day. I'll get her. I'll put up a hidden camera. I'll get her. Yeah, I was reading something the other day. A man whose name was Anton LaVey wrote it. And he said that Satan says when someone slaps you on one cheek, slap them two times on the other cheek. You know what book that was in? The Satanic Bible, written by Anton LaVey. That sounds a whole lot like what we think to do in our flesh, isn't it? You left me, I'll clean your clock. That preacher did that, that's fine. That ain't no problem. That church did that to me, that's fine. You know what that is? Flesh. And flesh has never won a spiritual battle. Number two, he didn't just give heed to the flesh, but he denied the faith. He's standing around the fire. Jesus is in the high priest's house, and he denies, and he's there, and here comes a woman. She says, I recognize your dialect. You're from Galilee, aren't you? You've got a Galilean tongue, don't you? You've got something. Yeah, I can tell. You've been with that man. You're with the Nazarene. You're with that man. And he says, no, I'm not with the Nazarene. No, and he denies him one time. I don't know the man. He denies him two times. He cusses and says, I don't know that blankety blank man. He denies him three times. He walks away. Here's what he needs to understand. He's got to understand that there is his salvation. There's the one that can help him. There's the one that's going to bring him hope. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what happens. We get wronged in our life. That man molested you. That man did this to you. That lady, he accosted you like this. You were done wrong by that person, and you were betrayed, and you were turned aside, and that confidence turned their back on you. And you say, that's fine, God. If that's the way you're going to act, if that's the way you're going to treat me, I've done everything I can for you. I've walked in your ways. I've tried to serve you, and you walk out on God. But what you don't realize is when you walk out on God, you've walked out on the one that can help you. You've walked out on the one that can heal you. You've walked out on the one. You say, but it was a preacher. Last time I checked, it didn't say Tyler Baptist Church out there, and it didn't say people that followed the Golden Man. We follow Jesus Christ. You don't follow Tyler, and you don't follow another preacher. You follow the God man Jesus Christ, and when he does you wrong, then you can walk out. But until then, keep on plugging, children. Keep on plugging. Can I tell you something? I've seen more people go through divorce, go through children leaving, go through this. They tell me about it preaching. They tell me about it at funerals. And this is always what they say, 9.5 times out of 10. Where are you going to church, hon? Well, I really haven't found a place yet. You know what that means? I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. And I look at him and I think, don't you know Jesus still loves you? Don't you know he's not abandoning you? Don't you know he won't turn aside from you? He denied the faith. Number three, he took his flight. The Bible says after he denied him the third time, he got up and he went out, according to Luke. He got up and he went out. He got up. And he went out. He got up and he went out. He ran away from the problem. He ran away from the issue. He didn't want to solve the issue. He wanted to run from it. He wanted to get out. He didn't want to have to look the problem in the face. He didn't want to have to deal with what he had just done. He didn't want to deal with what the mess he had just made. He didn't want to deal with what he had just broken. He didn't want to deal with the heart of the master that he had just betrayed. It's easier to run away, isn't it? It's easier not to deal with it. It's easier not to look it in the face. It's easier not to look it in the eyes. It's easier not to have to figure out that you've messed up. It's easy, isn't it, just to run away that's what so many people do. They just run away. I don't want to deal with the problem. I don't want to deal with that dad wasn't in my life. I'm not going to deal with that husband. We just won't talk about it. We won't deal with it. We won't look at it. We won't think about it. I won't think about this. I'll just move on. I won't get healed. I won't do this. I'll just get up, get out. Get up, get out. Get up, get out. Get up, get out. I'll delete him. I'll delete his pictures from my Facebook. I'll delete him from my Twitter. I'll get him off my Instagram. I'll take his name out of my will. He's coming off my grave plot. I'm sandblasting him off my tombstone. I'm going to get him off the title of my car. I'm going to make sure he's not on my house. He's not even going to be on my kid's birth certificate anymore. I'm going to make sure he's erased from the face of the earth. I'm never going to think about him. I'm never going to look at him. I'm never going to deal with him. Here's the problem. Y'all still shopping at Harris Teeter together. You know, God has a funny way of making you run into the things you try to run from. He's just a funny God like that. I can't tell you how many people up to my 30 years of living that I have just tried to ignore only to meet them at the most inopportune times. I was 18 years old when, 17 years old, I was going to college or in high school. And I was going to my senior formal, whatever you're going to call it back in. I don't dance. I got Caucasian in my blood. We don't do dancing. Okay? If you dance and you're white, you're not white. You got like American Indian in you or something like that. It ain't white. Because you can't have the same Anglo-Saxon I got in me. We don't dance. We're just... Just don't do it. Am I right about it? Mason's over there doing the doo-wop. I mean, he's singing Achy Breaky Heart, looking like Michael Jackson, moonwalking across my floor. And I look at Eric, I said, who's his daddy? Seventeen years old. I'm going to my spring formal. And I just, you know, they do it in March, and you're so pasty. And you know, I was 17. I was vain. So I went to go get me one of them spray tans. You know what I'm saying? That's not the new stuff. That new stuff, you walk in there and that thing, you know. Back in, you had to go in and they had to airbrush you. Some of y'all vain people know what I'm talking about, don't you? Come on. Steve. Steve's shaking his head. Oh, no, okay. Woo-hoo! But anyways, I was 17. Cindy, I swear I thought I saw him shake his head. He knew what I was talking about. Yeah. And there's just one girl. I wasn't right with God. I just didn't like her. I walk in, and I'm going to go. Look, I'm a man, so I don't want to be embarrassed. So I go to a tanning salon I don't know about anybody at, right? And I walk in like this. Welcome to Tanaholics, and I hear that voice. God, why are you doing this to me? You know why? You know why God does that to you? Makes you run into that person that stabbed you. Makes you run into that person that wronged you. Makes you run into that person that you hadn't dealt with it. Makes you run into that because God knows that you're between that bridge from betrayal to bitterness. And if you don't deal with it in the brokenness stage, you will get so bitter. You'll get so hardened. You'll get so callous. You'll get so messed up. You'll never be the same. God will have to rip you in half to deal with you. Now, that was all introduction. Let me give you my message, and I promise you I will not be long. Don't laugh. It ain't going to be long. All right, number three, I want to talk to you about conquering betrayal. Conquering betrayal. How did Jesus conquer the betrayal? Number one, faith in God. Faith in God. He said in chapter number 18, verse number 11, he said, Peter, how can I not drink of the cup that my Father hath given to me? Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. I'm not going to stand up here like some pious saint and say, you just need to do this. God had it like this. God made you go through that, and it's all going to be okay. I'm not going to do that because I know it was hard. I know it was tough. I know it was a low time. I know somebody broke you in half. I know somebody messed you up. But let me stand up here as one that has walked through the valley and say, it is going to be okay. God did let you go through that. You are going to make it. It's not over. You can trust God. You know that God would not betray you. You know God would not turn you aside. Child of God, you say, God, I'll drink the cup you want me to drink of. Number two, he had faith in God. Number two, he forgave the betrayer. On the cross of Christ, he's on that cross, and this is the statement that comes from his mouth. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What does that mean? Here's what it means. It means it wasn't them that did it. It was the devil in them that did it. Who was it that used to say, the devil made me do it? Maybe not. But it was an old, cold, depraved heart that made him do it. And see, when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't see an old, cold, depraved heart. He saw what he wanted that vessel to look like when it got done on the potter's wheel. He saw what that person could be and what that person would do. Child of God, I do not know how to do it otherwise, other than just to say, if Jesus forgave me and if Jesus forgave you, we can forgive those that wrong us. You say, but preacher, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how they betrayed me. You don't know how they stabbed me. You don't know the struggles that I've gone through. No, I do not know how they betrayed you. I do not know the struggles you've gone through, but I do know this. I do know what I did to the Lord Jesus. I do know what you did to him when you nailed him to the cross with your sin, and when I nailed him to the cross with my sin, and when I stabbed him in the heart with that spear, and when I put that crown of thorns on his head. But there on that cross, he looked down through time and eternity, and he saw your face, and he saw my face, and he wasn't just talking to the Jews in front of him, but he saw you, and he said, Father, I want you to forgive Tyler, and I want you to forgive Larry, and I want you to forgive Bob, and I want you to forgive Erica, and I want you to forgive this one, and I want you to forgive that one, because he knew one day, child of God, that somebody would wrong you and somebody would betray you and somebody would do you ugly, dirty, wrong. And God said, just follow my lead. Just like I forgave you, forgive them. Watch this. The moment you forgive them is the moment God releases you from the pain. Father, forgive them. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. And it's over. The moment you forgive is the moment the pain walks out. Number three, you have faith in God. You forgive them. Number three, you forget about it. Here we go. Oh yeah, preacher. Oh, preacher, oh, man of God, you don't even know what you're asking me to do. Oh, yes, I do. I know exactly what I'm asking you to do. You say, preacher, I'll forgive them, but I'll never forget what they've done. Preacher, how can I ever forget what they said to me? How can I ever forget what they did to me? Are you ready? You can't. I read a journal the other day, the American Journal of Scientists, and there was a cognitive thinker. And he wrote an article, and this is what he said, that your mind is one big filing cabinet. It remembers everything it ever sees or hears. And when somebody gets dementia, it's not that they forget, it's that that part of the brain shuts down. It's in there somewhere, they just can't figure out how to... Let me see if I can put this in words. 3 days later, Jesus gets up out of the grave. Mary is at the tomb, and she says, Sir, where have you laid the body of our Lord? And he says, Mary, Mary, she says, Rabboni, it is you, it is our master, it is our teacher. And she goes to hug him, and he says, do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. She said, what do you want me to do, master? And he makes the strangest statement. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go before me, and I want you to tell everybody that I'll meet him in Galilee. And here's who I want you to tell. I want you to go tell my disciples and Peter. Y'all don't believe me. Just turn over then to John chapter. Just turn over one book. Okay? Just one book. One chapter, rather. John 21. Y'all ain't believed anything I said this morning, but I'm telling you the truth. John 21. There's an entire conversation between Jesus and Peter about what Peter's supposed to do when Jesus goes to heaven. You ready? John 21. If you got it, hold it up. Okay? Let's have a competition. Somebody time me 30 seconds. You ready? Find one time in John 21 where Jesus mentions what Peter did to him. Go. Let me save you time. It ain't in there. Do you know why? Because Jesus forgot about it. Now watch this. Did Jesus forget? Did it leave his mind? No, Jesus, you can't forget. Jesus, God, he's God. You don't forget things. But here's what forgetting really is. Forgetting is not abolishing it from your memory. It is ceasing to dwell upon it. It is saying, I'm not going to let it influence my decisions. I'm not going to let it influence who I am. I'm not going to let it influence how I love. I'm not going to let it influence how I trust. I'm not going to let it influence who I become. I am not going to let it be my God anymore. Forget it. And when it comes back in, forget it. Dwayne, got your guitar? Come play it right quick, brother. Now watch this last one. You ready? How do you get over and overcome betrayal? Number one, you must do what? You must do what? That's exactly right. Number two, you must do what? You must forgive. Number three, you must forget. Number four, you must be filled with the Spirit. Listen to me. If you leave this place right now and say, you know what? I'm going to forgive them. I'm just going to forget about it. And you do it in your own flesh and God's not leading you, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go out those doors. You're going to get in your car. It's going to be hot. You're going to get mad. You're going to feel your blood rising. You're going to look at three text messages. That person will have invariably texted you. You're going to get mad. You're going to think about something you want to send back, but you're not going to because you're still pulling it out in your flesh. You're going to pull out on Church Street. Somebody's going to horn cuss you. It's going to be over. They're not going to have your drink at the restaurant. And before you know it, you're going to be ready to cuss them. You're going to be ready to throw them out. You're going to be ready to be done with it. You know why? You can't do it in your flesh. But if you'll do it in the Holy Ghost and let God have control. How many of you, Brother Dwayne, just whenever you're ready, pal, you play on. How many of you have ever made a cake with homemade icing from scratch? My mother makes a cake, several cakes, from scratch. She has the oddest way she does this. It's the oddest thing. She makes these cakes. And she puts them on this Lazy Susan. You know what I'm talking about? This thing spins. And then she's over here with this machine that goes, and inside of it is this like, it's like angel froth. It's buttercream icing. I mean, you know, it's just like, bathe me in it. Just bathe me. And my mother has got the oddest way of doing things. You know what she'll do? She takes this plastic Ziploc bag, okay? She cuts the tip of this thing out. Got this metal tip she shoves down in that thing. She takes this spatula and she reaches in that container with that buttercream icing. And she's got her hand like this around the tip of that bag and just. Now, if it was me, I'd be afraid it'd spill out. So I'd zip it up right there, but no, 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 not her. And I mean, it's just running. It's all over everything. I mean, it's everywhere. And you know what she'll do? She does the oddest thing. She squeezes it. She squeezes that bag. You know what that icing does? She takes that Lazy Susan, and as she squeezes, that icing just layers that cake. Just layers that cake. More squeezing, just layers it. Me and my mason are like dogs. When it comes to sweet stuff, we are like cavernous dogs. We're not allowed to touch that cake till we eat supper. Like I'm 10 again. 33. But we're not allowed to. And what we'll do, Dwayne, it's the oddest thing. She takes that cake, but this is what she'll say. Anything that ran over, help yourself. Well, honest, me and Mason, we're like German shepherds. We, you know, just licking the bar. You know what lesson that teaches me? If you want sweet stuff in you, you've got to make sure there's no bitter things in you first. And let the Holy Ghost, the things of God, that music, those people, that church, that Bible. And then the next time that devil comes and squeezes, you know what the Holy Ghost will do? He'll take whatever cake it is he's trying to ice with your life, and he'll spin it. And the devil's squeezing you, thinking he's rolling out the good stuff. But what he doesn't realize is he's just accomplishing the purpose of God. Then watch this. The devil gets done with you, and he throws you down. You know what he forgets? There's some sweet stuff still laying around. And you got little scavengers that hadn't had anything sweet in a long time. Little co-workers that have been looking for something real, something to sweeten their soul. Maybe somebody that had a bad marriage over here and you had a bad marriage over here, and now God brings two people together. And that man just looks and he says, I wonder. I wonder if I'll ever have anything sweet again. I wonder if I'll ever. And God puts you together. And because you allowed God to cut out all the bitterness and cut, that person did you wrong. And they cut it out. God, get it out. And the Holy Ghost fills you, fills you, fills you, fills you. Just a bunch of sweet icing everywhere. You don't have to be bitter your whole life. You don't have to be broken your whole life. There's victory in Jesus. But you got to have faith in God.